When we lived in New York, I visited a Ukrainian Orthodox church one Sunday. Have anybody ever been to a Ukrainian Orthodox service? It's quite an experience. I'm going to tell the fuller version of this story next week, but I just wanted to give you the short version today. I didn't time it right. I ended up getting there in the middle of a service. Their services are very long. If you ever complain, I'm just going to say, we'll go Ukrainian Orthodox on you if you keep complaining, right? These are like 3-hour services. So I got there late in the middle of their service. I just planned to slip in unnoticed, you know, into the back pew, but things went in a very weird directions. 5 minutes after I arrived, I found myself processing down to the front of the sanctuary with a large candle, not knowing what I was doing or why or where I was supposed to stand when I got down to the front in front of all those Ukrainian people. This was all complicated by the fact that the service was in Ukrainian, and did I mention I don't speak Ukrainian? It turns out in a Ukrainian Orthodox service, the reading of the gospel is always accompanied by candlelight and light bearers, and that's what I was supposed to be doing. And apparently, right when I got there, they were one Ukrainian guy short. So that's why this guy shoved this into my hand, grabbed me, and just pushed me down the aisle with these other candle bearers. Okay, so that's the short version. All of this to say, if you bring a friend with you next week, we will not do that to them, okay? I can't make you a lot of promises. You know, it's not going to be a carnival. We're not giving away ponies or anything, but we won't do that to them, okay? There you go. And you can tell them that. You can make that promise. I do want to talk today about why the good news of Easter, of Christ's resurrection, always connects us in new ways to other people, in new forms of friendship. That's important. It's customary for us to read from the book of Acts in the weeks that follow Easter because Acts, that book of Acts, is a report of the early movement of people who began following Jesus and meeting together in his name in open spaces, in homes. The good news is infectious. The joy of this good news ripples and cascades outward and includes more and more people. And so we're talking this week and next about what it means to be a community of good news and why we would do such a thing as invite other people to join with us. Our reading today was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. So it gives you, I think it's an edited version, probably longer than that, but gives you an idea of very early Christian preaching, the themes that were common in sermons. And what you see is that the good news has from the very beginning always involved a community of people gathered around the foundational stories of what happened to Jesus Christ, the stories of what he did, and then what happened to him, and then ultimately how God raised him from the dead. These stories are the central hub around which all else turns. That was true then. I hope that's still true now. So we gather and we organize ourselves, our lives around these Jesus stories because they bear within them good news, not just for me and not just for you, but for absolutely everyone, for every kind of person, of every skin color, every gender, age, social class, nationality, for the earth. It's Earth Day. This is good news for the earth and for all of creation, for everything God has made. Our lives are a way of sharing in God's healing, renewing energy. So we're participants in what God's doing. This is good news. By telling and retelling the stories about what God is doing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we begin to see ourselves in a new way. We start to see ourselves as God's beloved friends who are made strong by the Holy Spirit that's poured out upon us. We're made strong to play now an active role in all that God is up to, all that God continues to do in our midst. And this kind of life, lived together with other people, this is what gives us meaning and purpose and direction in life. And there are lots of people who want that, who need that, who are looking for that. By sharing these Jesus stories, we discover together that God is not some far-off, aloof, and stern disciplinary figure. That wouldn't be good news, right? What we discover is that God is the creative energy responsible for everything that exists. God is the author of everything there is, the author of all reality, who was a loving and quietly present force in and between and through everything and everyone. This God is the close and easily available energy that connects us to ourselves, that connects us to each other, to the earth, and to God in a new kind of friendship. By telling these Jesus stories, we begin to see that life is about mercy and about healing and about generosity and serving others. And this is good news, because this way of life frees us from all sorts of paths that look appealing at first, of course, but turn out to be harmful to us in the long run. They're illusions, they're idols. And this is good news for our community, because together, in the wake of this good news, we become active, hopeful, energized participants in the well-being of our place. No longer are we concerned about our little orbit, but now our vision is expanded to care about the well-being, the thriving of our place. From Peter's sermon, we learn to speak to other people in a language that they can understand, that they will hear. We learn to communicate to other people in terms of their own experience. Now, for Peter, that meant arguments from Scripture, from the Psalms about King David. Now, arguing from Scripture may not be the best place for us to begin conversations with our friends and neighbors. I doubt that that's the best place for us to begin. More likely, our friends will want to know something else, whether their lives will be deeper, better, more joyful, more meaningful, more connected. And I hope you can say with confidence, yeah, that's happening. It's not perfect, but we're moving in that direction. We're at our best when we can speak from our own experience. That's why Peter says at the end of our reading today, we are witnesses. Witnesses. That's how Peter and the other early followers of Jesus saw themselves. They saw themselves as witnesses because, yes, they were in a special place, different from us. They witnessed the appearances of the risen Christ. That was a special gift to them from God for the beginning of that early community of Christians. But we too, in our own way, have witnessed the power of the risen Christ in the faces of other people, in acts of mercy and sacrifice and generosity, in the reading of Scripture, in the sharing of a meal. And it's this experience of God's grace that we have as witnesses to offer and share with others. Several months back, the outreach and member care team suggested that we should plan some kind of Bring a Friend Sunday. They are well aware that we invite others to join us all year long. We have guests with us almost every week, and I know that a lot of you are in the habit of inviting others to come with you. But they thought it would be good, it would be helpful for us to plan a Sunday that would make it easy for all of us to invite someone else to church. And they thought it'd be a good way to start building good habits of hospitality. So I've been thinking about why I'm here. Why did I make this community a priority in my life? Why do I want to be here? Why do I value this? Why is living life together with you all, why is that good for me and healthy? So I invite you to think for a bit this morning about those questions for you too. Why are you here? How'd you get here? Who invited you? Do you remember what it felt like when you were new here? Because that's what it will feel like for others. I've been thinking about those questions over the past several weeks as I have become a CrossFit beginner. Now, if you don't know what CrossFit is a particular way of working out. It's a CrossFit gym. It's an exercise plan that aims at increasing strength, flexibility, and overall fitness. Jared and Alicia own the building on North National where the CrossFit gym is now located. They've been working out this way for a while. Stephanie started about a year and a half ago. Nick and Kelly now do CrossFit. David Jackson does CrossFit and has been inspiring to me. So these people and others have invited me to try CrossFit many, many times over the past year and a half. I said no way every single time. I may have said it even stronger than that. I had lots of good reasons to say no. I hate lifting weights. I always have. When we had to lift weights in high school, I found ways to just diddle and dawdle and get out of it and avoid it. As I listened to other people describe it, it sounded way too intense and way too competitive. I've had lower back issues, and I just had all these visions of me just destroying my lower back doing some of this stuff. I figured I was way too old. I'm 46 to start new shenanigans like this. And I couldn't really see adjusting my schedule to schedule 4 CrossFit workouts a week. And I have been running on the trails in Gun Park, and I love it. It's kind of beautiful, and I enjoy that. I thought, I'm fine. So they had this weightlifting competition in the fall, and so I went with Stephanie to see how that worked. And there were lots of really buff, strong people dressed in very specific, special workout clothes, and they had special shoes, and there was a special language going on, and they were lifting lots of weight. There was lots of screaming and yelling, and everyone was gathered around cheering for the people lifting. You could not possibly design an environment that is less appealing to me. So that was all I needed, right? That I was a guest, and I was like, this is nuts. I'm out. And so I kept running the trails in Gun Park when the weather was good. And people kept on inviting me. Oh, you should try it. You'd like it. And the reason they kept inviting me, and I knew this, was it had been good for them, right? They were in the mode of witness. I knew it had been good for them. I was still saying no. But in a moment of weakness recently, I caved in. I agreed to do the 2-week beginner class. I thought, how bad can it be? I can do 2 weeks, check out. It's not that I'd gotten over my fears or my reservations. It's just that, you know, what I was doing wasn't working. I've been out of high school for 27 or 28 years working hard to stay in shape, and it has not been working. So I had to admit that to myself. I had to be willing to try something new. I needed something different. So this beginner's on-ramp 2-week class, it's well done. I was there with other people who were also beginners. The instructors did a great job of helping and coaching. They didn't expect me to be some place I wasn't physically. And even though my body didn't change in 2 weeks, I still look like this, I could tell that if I stuck with this, it would make a difference over the long term. Then after the 2 weeks, you're sort of thrown to the wolves. Not quite, but you have to be integrated into the regular CrossFit classes with all the really serious, intense, competitive people. It's not that you're totally thrown to the wolves, but you kind of have to want to be there. You have to want to be there for yourself. The people are nice enough, I guess, but you do have to ask a lot of questions and seem dumb and be humiliated a lot and watch what other people are doing. One of the hardest things for me is seeing how advanced, how far along some of the other people are. They're doing things with their bodies that I cannot even imagine doing right now. The workout, just to give you an example, the workout the other day involved doing 90 pull-ups. I kid you not. 3 rounds of doing lots of different stuff, but in each of the rounds, 30 pull-ups 3 times. I cannot do a single pull-up right now, okay? It's humiliating. And we're supposed to do 90, okay? But they're very good at scaling it back and helping, okay, for no matter what your body type is, no matter what your age are, no matter where you are, some people have specific things wrong with hips and knees and shoulders, and there are always ways to scale the workout to where it makes sense for you so that everybody coming in at different places, they're very good about making that workout work for you. There's a lot of instruction, a lot of explanation, a lot of teaching, lots of demonstrating, sharing ideas about technique and tricks and shortcuts, lots of talk about nutrition that's been good for me. The whole thing assumes that if you're there, you're there because you're interested in learning and growing. Now, it's never easy to start something new, no matter what it is, but if you've tried lots of things and they haven't worked, and if you know some people who found something that works for them, And if they keep on inviting you to join them, you might just eventually fight through all of your excuses and objections and try it out. So I want you to keep that little story in mind this week as you do some inviting and as we work together on becoming a congregation that gets in the habit of inviting other people to join us. Most people don't respond to an invitation the first time. Most people have to be invited a number of times over the course of a number of months before they ever try something new. But over time, we can become a congregation of people who are in the habit of gladly welcoming other people into this good news that we've experienced. Yes, we're manipulating people a little bit with chicken antis. We can't do that every week, you know, but sweetens the pot a little bit for next week. If you want to become a person who's able to share and communicate, able to witness why this is good news for you, you're probably going to have to do something like develop a little one-sentence testimony, okay? One sentence. Don't make it too complicated. Don't get it too advanced or too complex, but you're going to have to find some little way of sharing with other people why this has been good for you. A few examples. I need church because it reminds me of what's most important in life. Okay. That was a one-sentence testimony. Maybe that's close to why this is good for you. It helps me pray. I like to sing, or I like to be quiet and hear other people sing. I need church because I'm curious and it helps me ask good questions. I need church because it connects me to other people. I like some of them. I need church because it helps me learn how to become a better person. I need church because it provides me with ways to serve other people. I need church because it's really important for me to hear, really hear that I'm forgiven and I'm loved. The coffee's decent. There's snacks. Whatever it is for you, right? But you need some simple way of saying why this is good for you, or the invitation to others will probably seem a little thin. A few of you have mentioned to me that you like this Bring a Friend Sunday. You like this initiative, but it makes you a little anxious because you're not sure to who to invite. Or it makes you feel guilty because this is out of your wheelhouse. Makes you a little nervous. I just want you to relax, okay? Take a deep breath. This thing isn't designed to heap guilt on you or to make you feel behind the curve in any way. This isn't meant to be another burden in your life. We all have plenty of those. We're just trying to start practicing becoming the kind of congregation that's open, that's hospitable, welcoming to people who are ready to try something new in their lives, who need a new start. And there are people in your orbit for whom that is true. I strongly encourage you not to invite other people who are already connected to another congregation. We want to bless them and pray for their congregations and leave them where they are. And don't worry, like Laura said, about whether someone accepts your invitation. It's a big win. It's a big success for us if we just start forming habits of every once in a while communicating that this is good, this has been good for me, you should come sometime. I promise next week not to preach for an hour about the importance of an arcane Hebrew verb from Leviticus, okay? I'm just going to try to talk next week about the stuff that we have going on, the stuff we value, that we're doing together right now, the stuff we have upcoming this summer. I want other people to know that living life together with friends, gathered around Jesus Christ, can be a joyful and meaningful thing. I'm excited about the things that we're doing together, and I'm excited about extending ourselves, and we can do even more with more people, more gifts, more talent, more passion, more resources. That's why I want other people here. So I offer you this morning this playful charge. Just go invite someone this week. Maybe it's one person or two. Maybe it's a family or two. There's lots of different ways you can do this. You can hand them a card. There are cards stacked out there. That's good for you to just be able to say, here, come with me next Sunday. You can pass along something we've posted on social media. Laura's putting together a video where I'm inviting people to join us. You could just share that with somebody else. That will make it easy. We're doing a mailing this week to everybody in our database, inviting them. So if you know members who haven't been here in a while, you know, reach out to them. Tell them it'd be a great Sunday for them to be here. Next Sunday should be a fun day, a good day to be together, and it might even remind all of us why we're here, why this is good for our lives, right? Amen.